Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I don't want to take too long or too much time, but it's truly an incredible schus for me, and I know for all of us, an enormous highlight of the year, each and every year, and Amir Hashem, for many, many years to come, next year beginning in Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael, but to welcome Rebbe, to welcome Rav Shechter, Rebbetzin Shechter to our community is one of, if not the highlight of the year. Not only the opportunity to learn from the Divrei Torah, from the vast encyclopedic knowledge, to tap into the Psak Halacha, but to simply be in the presence and to daven with and to learn with and to learn from is a great, great schus for our community. We know from our parsha, Vayitzei Yaakov, Yitzias Tzadik Osa Roshim, but the Abias Tzadik Osa Osa Roshim. And a tzaddik comes to a community that Roshim can be felt. And there's no question that a lot of the growth of our community, both directly and indirectly, through the Psak Halacha and the Hashpa, the influence of Rav Shechter, can be directly traced. And less directly, but also as significantly, simply the presence of Rebbe and the Rebbetzin each and every year means the world. I want to thank Lior and Akiva Marcus, who sponsored this Shabbos, this learning opportunity in honor of their son Yosh, who was a dedicated soldier. Lior just came back from Eretz Yisrael, spending time. He is serving our people, a brave chayal. And on behalf of all of the chayalim, it's sponsored that we daven for their safety, their courage. Hashem should watch over them, bring all the hostages home. It's also in loving memory of Dani Morris, of Nachman Daniel ben Aryeh Tzvi, whose smile is missed each and every day. Without any further ado, it's a great schuss. Also, tomorrow morning, I want to encourage those who can. Men are invited at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Rebbe is giving a shir, and then over the course of Shabbos, the details are all in the weekly. Please rise and join me in welcoming Rav Shechter.
Before I heard the details of what had fully taken place on Shmini Atzeres, I misunderstood what was happening, so I thought, it's again, the Palestinians claim that we stole Eretz Yisrael from them. So I'd just like to say, that's not what the issue is at all. But I'd like to say a few words about that. So many of you are familiar with the first comment that Rashi makes in his commentary on Chumash, that the day will come that the nations of the world will claim, listem atem, that the Jewish people are gazlonim, that we stole Eretz Yisrael from them. Rav Soloveitchik would often speak in public about this. He would say, I think I read that yesterday in the New York Times. They would always write up in the New York Times, the Palestinians would speak in the United Nations and accuse the Jews of stealing Eretz Yisrael. It's their country. But he said the country didn't belong to the British and it didn't belong to the Palestinians. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And he gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. At the time that he gave it to Avraham Avinu, it was only Eretz Zayin Amimim. But then, there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael during the lifetime of Yitzchok. And Yitzchok Avinu, the Chumash describes, followed all the traditions of Avraham Avinu. So it says he dug the same wells and he gave the same names that his father gave, everything the same. So when there was a famine during the lifetime of Avraham Avinu went down to Egypt, so Yitzchok was going to do exactly the same. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim like that. He was going to go down to Egypt, so he went to Gror. Gror is a Hevel Aza, in the Aza area. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Terid Mitzrayim, you are Hugdash as a Korban Oila. If you go down to Mitzrayim, you'll be Nifsal B'Yotzei. Every Korban has a Mokim. If it's a Kochi Kochim, the Mokim is the Azara. If it's Kochim Kalim, the Mokim is the Yerushalayim. If you take the Korban Chutzlim, it becomes Nifsal. So he told Yitzchak Avinu, if you'll go to Egypt, you won't be following in the footsteps of your father. Father was not a carbon. You'll be in violation. Gur Ba'aretz Hazos, stay over here. And I'm giving you Hevel Aza also. In the days of Avraham Avinu, we only had Eretz Zayin Amimim. But then when Yitzchak went to Gerar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving you Hevel Aza also. Aza always belonged to the Jewish people. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people. Even during the 7 years of Golus Baba, the Jewish people never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael. The Kedusha was bottled, but the Bailus, the ownership was never bottled. And Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say in public all the time, we do not owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving us Eretz Yisrael. It never belonged to the British, it always belonged to the Jewish people. Remember once Rabbi Gorin, after the Sinai campaign, most people weren't even born during the Sinai campaign. So remember, I think I was in high school then. I was in Rabbi Soloveitchik Shia, last year high school. So Rabbi Gorin was at that time the chief chaplain in the army. So he came to America. He was very charismatic, extremely charismatic. I heard him speak a few times. I went to hear him speak a few times. He's a very, very fascinating speaker. Very big Talmid Chacham, but a big character, very colorful person. So he gave a shiur in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. He insisted he wanted to give a shiur. She was going to Sanhedrin then, so he gave a shiur. He was assuming in his shiur that during the 70 years of Golus Baba, the Jewish people lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam says, when they came back after the 70 years of Golus Baba, there had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael again. We'll talk about that, I think, on Shabbos morning. The topic is about Kedushas HaOretz. So the Rambam says there had to be Mekadosh through Chazaka. So Rabbi Gorin was assuming that Chazaka means a Kinya Chazaka. They had to acquire ownership again. Rabbi Soloveitchik was in the classroom and he said, you're not allowed to say that. That's not true. Chazon Ish writes also like that. It's not true. The Jewish people never lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. There is an international din of Kibush Muhammad. Whenever one country wages war against the other country, the country who wins the war acquires ownership of the karka, the metaltalim, the people, everything, except for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not subject to the international rule of Kibush Muhammad. Always belonged to the Jewish people. Ibn Shalom said, he's giving to Avraham Avinu, to his descendants, forever and ever. Amen. That's it. That's the end of the story. So, strictly speaking, Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people, including Hebel Aza. But that's not what this war is all about. This war has nothing to do with who's the owner. These people are just Amalek. This is just plain Amalek. So, strictly speaking, the Pasuk says, a few times in the Chumash, when Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to take a census of the Jewish people, so Rashi writes in his commentary in the beginning of one of the opening psukim in Chumash Bamidbar, you don't draft people into the army before the age of 20. I think in the Israeli army they do, but the Pashto says that that's against the pasuk in Chumash. Not supposed to draft people. A person is bar mitzvah, is muchiv to do all the mitzvahs. The Bezen Shalmato considers a person a bardas, a girl from the age of 12, a boy from the age of 13, bardas and responsible for whatever averis he does. But we know, I already forgot my children, I have grandchildren now, we know we have grandchildren, bar mitzvah, they're very immature. The Bezen Shalmaila doesn't punish before the age of 20, that's how many midrashim say like that, the Chacham Tzvi thinks that it's not correct, but we assume like that. So here the Pasuk says you don't draft people into the army until they're 20 years old. You have to be more mature. In an army situation, you have to be more mature. But after the age of 20, all the Jewish men in the whole wide world are obligated to serve in the Jewish army if they need everybody. Doesn't matter whether they're citizens of Eretz Yisrael or not. If the Israeli government will call them by the phone and tell them that we're drafting you into the army, the United Nations will close down the state of Israel. But strictly speaking, you don't have to be a citizen of Medinas Israel. Strictly speaking, above the age of 20, everyone's mechuyev to help out. Women are not supposed to be drafted into the army. That's the first daf in Gemara Kiddushin. Women are not supposed to be drafted into the army. And the Mechemet HaShechrur, they needed every person to help. There were young children before Bar Mitzvah. Forget about before the age of 20. There were children before Bar Mitzvah who were helping out. I have a brother-in-law who was helping out the Mechemet HaShechrur. He was before Bar Mitzvah. But if you live under normal circumstances, you're not supposed to drift into the army until the age of 20. Noshim v'taf, you're not allowed to, there is a din. The Halacha says you're not allowed to kill Noshim v'taf. Unless it's Zainumas or unless it's Amalek. These people are probably Amalek. I remember when I was a little boy, the German government offered the Medinas Israel reparations money. So there was a big debate in the Knesset whether they should accept the reparations money. So at that time, Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke for the Mizrahi. So he said, first of all, he tends to agree with those in the Knesset that we shouldn't accept the reparations money because we will be conveying an impression to the Nazis, to the Germans, that everything is forgiven. He said, we're not balabatim to forgive the ritzichas that they did. Remember when I was a little boy, I was born in the middle of the war in America. I was born in the middle of the war. So I remember soon after the war, they said the Nazis killed 9 million Jews. Then they changed it to 6 million Jews. I think to 6 million Jews, that's because the Nazis kept records of the names and the addresses and the numbers that they put on their arms. But there were probably 9 million Jews were killed unofficially. They killed unofficially many more than 6 million. So the din is, the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrimim to wipe out the Zaynumis. But he says it doesn't apply b'zman hazeh kvar obad zichram. All the Zaynumis disappeared because the Gemara says, Bosan chevet bilbal as kol olam kol. If you don't know who's who, they don't have the din of Zaynumis. The Rambam never says it about Amalek. The Sefer Chinuch writes it as if the Rambam said it by Amalek as well. So Rav Soloveitchik said, not only does he feel like those members of the Knesset that it's improper to take the reparations money because we'll be conveying the impression as if we are the balabatim to forgive all the ritzichas that they did, all the torturous activities that they did to the Jewish people. But he said he thinks that they have a din of Amalek, that his impression was, he said he heard from his father, that any nation who adapts as a policy to wipe out the entire Jewish people, men, women, and children, have a din of Amalek. You don't have to be Mizera Amalek. You don't have to be a biological descendant, Ben Achaben, from Amalek. Any nation adapts such a policy. So he said, and that Pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel, that when Shmuel Hanavi told Shaul HaMelech he should wage war against Amalek, he should kill all the behemoths as well. So that's a question in Rishonim. So Rav Soloveitchik assumed that was not a Hayroa Shoah. He thought that that was a din l'doreis, that whenever you wage war against Amalek, any nation that adopts such a policy to wipe out the Jewish people, not allowed to take anything from that nation, even to take back part of the money that they stole from you. Nazis stole billions of dollars from the Jewish people. And their reparations money was a percentage, a fraction of what they took from the Jewish people. He thought all of that was prohibited. He thought that it was us. So according to Rav Soloveitchik's definition, these people are mamish Amalek. You have the din, so by the nation of Amalek, just like by Zaynumis, there's a din, you have to kill the men, the women, and the children. Innocent civilians, you're not allowed to kill. In a normal Muhammad, you're not allowed to kill Noshim et Taf, because Noshim et Taf never served in the army. Taf means before the age of 20. Noshim, the Goyim didn't draft Goyim in the army, so the Jews also didn't draft in the army. But if it's necessary for the war effort, you have no choice. The United States killed many, many civilians during the First World War, Second World War. Every Muhammad's like that. Rami Prague has it in his commentary on the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. It says, Vayiva Yankam Yod Vayetzaloi. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, the comment, Vayiva Yankam Yod Shema Yaharik Vayetzaloi Shema Yarag Acherim. What do you mean, Shema Yarag Acherim? Rabo Lahorga Chahashkem Lahorga. So what does he feel bad? So he says, no, he was afraid he was going to kill civilians. You have no right to kill civilians, but if the only way to win the war is if there were civilians living together with the terrorists, you have no choice. Every war is like that. You have no choice. Every country in the world that wages war, you always kill, unfortunately, always kill civilians. We're not happy about it. In fact, the Gemara has a din, Koin Shargas HaNefesh L'Yisas Kappa, according to whoever killed, he's not allowed to duchen. So Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion, many poskim hold like that, that it applies even if he's a soldier in the Jewish army. And he with David HaMelech killed Palestinian terrorists. He was killing Plishtim who were coming to kill the Jews. And he wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash. And it says in Divrei Hayomim that the Nabi told him you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash. Domim Rabim Shafachto. He killed Palestinian terrorists. He said you killed a lot of people at Beis HaMikdash. It's called the Makam Shalom. And you have to have an Ishalom to build a Beis HaMikdash. You're going to have a son Shlomo. He's going to be an Ishalom. He's going to be peaceful during his reign. he'll have the schus to build the Beis HaMikdash. So Soloveitchik thought that Pashtus is, there's such a passage in the Zohar also, the Zohar asked the Kasha, how is Pinchas allowed to be makariv karbonis? The Gemara says, Kain Sharek's on Nebuchadnezzar, he says, Kapav, not allowed to duch, and never says, but he's allowed to be makariv karbonis. So it's 2 days in Tosfos and Yevamos in the first parak. So when you look in the big Mishnais, the Yochanan Boaz Mishnais on Pchoris, when the Mishnais list off all the Bali Mumin, which coin is the Bal Mumin, he's possible to be makariv karbonis. So they quote that then also, Kain Sharek's on Nebuchadnezzar, he says, Kapav. And they quote the 2 days in Tosfos, whether it only applies to duchening, it also applies to hakrovas hakorbanos. So they quote the Zohar. The Zohar seems to, Zohar asked the kasha. Pinchas was only in his kind Pinchas after he killed Zimri. So he was hargas hanefesh. He was, that's a din. Kanoim pogimo. That's a din. Habal aramas kanoim pogimo. And still the Zohar asked the kasha, how could it be makor korbanos? Rav Soloveitchik said, based on the Zohar, based on the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk by Dovin HaMelech, and the Rayomim, even if the Kohen killed Hargas HaNefesh, but Mokha Mitzvah is still not allowed to do it. Acham Avadya has a tshuva, he disagrees. But the whole issue is based on the Zohar, so he says, Ein kamak melaharach. That's the whole tshuva. Ein kamak melaharach. That's the whole topic, is that. Mistami has some other tshuva somewhere else about it. There was a big issue during the First World War. Kohanim in England complained to the government that they can't be drafted in the army because they're not allowed to be Metamei LeMeisim. There are going to be dead bodies all over the place. So the British government brought it up with the one who was then the chief rabbi, Rabbi Nathan Adler. Not to be confused with Rav Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, he lived 100 years before. Rabbi Nathan Adler was a Talmid Chacham. He got smicha like Rabbi Samson Reifel Hirsch. He got smicha from Rabbi Yankov Etlinger, who was the prominent Yekishe Rav, big Talmid Chacham. So he brought it up with the London Bezin. The London Bezin was always a Bekavadiga Bezin. So they quoted Mordechai in Gittin, who shows there's a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara discusses, Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, whether a Kohen is allowed to take a Yefas Toyer. So if he's not a soldier in the army, so what's the whole discussion? The Yefas Toyer is only mutter for the soldiers. I'm saying, see from the Gemara that you do draft Kohanim in the army. The Kohanim have to be careful as much as possible. Not to be Matam the Mason, but there is no such thing. The Rambam stands out over here. The Rambam says you don't draft the whole Shevet Levi in the army. Because it says by Mohammed Midyon at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, they took Elef Lamata, every Shevet gave 1,000 soldiers. Shnei Masar Elef Chalutzei Tzavot. There were 12,000 soldiers. Each Shevet gave 1,000 soldiers. But there were 13 Shvatim. Yosef was divided to Menashe and Ephraim and Shevet Levi. So which Shevet didn't give 1,000? It should have been 13,000. So the Rambam understood that Shevet Levi was never drafted in the army. Rashi HaChumash says not so, that Shevet Levi was drafted in the army, but the two Chalokim of Yosef, together, Menashe and Ephraim is one Shevet, together they gave 1,000. So the Rambam is, we don't accept that Rambam. The Rambam says the whole Shevet Levi was not drafted in the army. You say not only was Shevet Levi drafted, the Kohanim were also drafted in the army. Not supposed to draft women in the army, not supposed to draft people before the age of 20 into the army. I remember many years ago, we came today by plane. It takes a long time till they check you. I'm over 75. So they don't make me take off my shoes. But they make everybody crazy at the airports. People already forgot, when did this takana begin? When the Palestinians, the Palestinian terrorists made the whole world crazy. They hijacked a couple of planes, then they bombed a plane over England. A lot of Jews were on the plane. So when they, years ago before, when they hijacked the plane, when they hijacked the three planes, I think, and one of the passengers on one of the planes was Rabbi Huttner. So Rabbi Huttner, Zochan Lebracha, had several Talmidim who were extremely wealthy. So they negotiated. They went to the State Department, and they said they're prepared to give a fortune of money, that the State Department should negotiate with the terrorists, and they should free Rabbi Huttner. So before they heard the answer from the State Department, so they brought it up to the Rabbanim, to the Agudas Rabbanim, to discuss whether it's permissible or not. So I remember they said then, at that time, Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky was opposed. He said, there's no din of pinyon shvuyim in the middle of a war. He said, there was no war at that time. He said, the war is this still the Mechemet HaShechrur. The war is not only when you're shooting guns, when you have tanks and you have rifles, and you're dropping bombs. The Arabs are still at war with the Jewish Medina. They want to wipe out the Jewish land, the country of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, in the middle of a war, if you're going to do Pinyashuim, giving money to the enemy, you just... it's against the war effort. He said at that time the only country that had signed a peace agreement with the Jews, I think, was Egypt. The other Arab nations didn't sign. So he said they're all still at war. There's no din of Pinyashuim in the middle of a war. Strictly speaking, the pashtus is that if the enemy has captured Jewish people, there's no din of Pinyashuim. If you have to drop bombs to kill all the Hamas, and they're using human shields, even if the human shields are Jewish, that's... you're going to defeat the whole purpose of the war if you're going to start making, exchanging prisoners. So he said at that time, you're not allowed to do that. The Gemara tells us, commenting on the Pasuk, in Shir HaMalos, one of the 15 Shir HaMalos, Amdos HaYiragleinu B'Sharayich Yerushalayim, Amdos HaYiragleinu B'Melchama, the soldiers are successful in battle in the schus of Shara Yerushalayim, because in the yeshivas in Yerushalayim, they're learning Torah. So we have to learn extra Torah, as much Torah as people learn. You have to learn extra Torah during this time. It should be a schus for the soldiers. Then the Pasuk says in Parshat Bahaloischa, Kisavoyim Muhammad Biarzachem Alatz Harayosem, Harayosem Bachatzoitzis. You should blow Chatzoitzis. When the Rama quotes it in the very beginning of Hilchas Tainiyos, he writes, Mitzvah says, Lizuk Olohariya. It's a mitzvah to blow Chatzoitzis. And Lizuk, Lizuk means a higher level of tefillah, to daven with the Moes. The Gemara has a famous Gemara in Perek Hazov and Bab Mitzi Meim Shachar Beis Hamikdash Nin Alu Shari Tfilo. After the Beis Hamikdash is the Mokum Tfilo. So now that there's no more Beis Hamikdash, the Pasuk says in Echa Gam Ki Ezev Gashadeh El Salsam Tfilo. Even if you daven, the prayers are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be accepted. This Mancha Beis Hamikdash Hoyakayim. Unless the Gemara says, even though Shari Tfilo and Nin Alu, we Shari Demo is La Nin Alu. So if the person is davening with such fervor that he's moved to tears because it's such a serious situation, so that's when you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We blow terua. Terua means yom yabava. Yom terua yolchem tagme. Yom yabava. Yabava means to cry. So when you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that's a form of tefillah. Blowing shofar is a form of tefillah. As if we're moved to tears. It's such a serious thing. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the ksiva nachasima for the whole world, for the coming year. So that's a serious thing. So the Torah says, when you have a mochama, it's mitzvah says, lizuk olahariya to blow chatzotzos. How come we don't blow chatzotzos? We've been already many centuries, we don't blow. The Mishnah is talking about blowing chatzotzos on a tarnasi, but how come we don't do it? So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in his first sefer, Nigros Moshe and Orachaim. He quotes the Magen Mishnah on the side of the Rambam that that's only the chatzotzos in the Beis Hamikdash. We don't have the chatzotzos in the Beis Hamikdash anymore, so we don't blow chatzotzos. But many places in Eretz Yisrael, they blow shofar. They don't blow chatzotzos, they blow shofar. B'shas HaMelchama. And you have to have lizuk, you have to have special tefillahs. Not enough just to say the Shemana Esrei and to end off the Brocha B'Olam Al-Shinim with a special nigun. Shaver Oivim Emachni HaZeidim. That's not enough. You have to have special tefillahs. In the yeshiva, in Eretz Yisrael, in all the shuls, they told me that they say Avinu Malkeinu every day. We say Avinu Malkeinu every day in the yeshiva, twice a day, Shachris and Mincha. Even on Shabbos, we say Avinu Malkeinu. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that the meaning is, you say Avinu Malkeinu even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even though you don't say Tachnun on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's not a stira. But when Yom Kippur, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu except for Ne'ilah. Why do you say Avinu Malkeinu by Ne'ilah? So the Mefarshim explained, because that's the Gemar HaChasima, is at the time of Ne'ilah, that's when the main Sakana is. Unfortunately, this Sakana is all day long in Eretz Yisrael. Every single day, soldiers are killed and soldiers are maimed. you wouldn't want to hear the description of the way the soldiers, they have thousands of pitzuim. Every day they announce how many people, how many soldiers were killed that day. But aside from those who were killed, those who were wounded and maimed for the rest of their lives. So the bayas, all day long, is like Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur. So we say, Avir Malkein and Yeshiva, even on Shabbos, all day long. It's like Yom Kippur in the Ne'ilah time. And then the Gemara says, in addition to the schus of Liman HaTorah, Amdus HaRagleinu B'Sharayich Yerushalayim, in the schus of the Limud and the Yeshivas, and you have to have Zo'oka, we should daven, we should blow Chatzotzvus, we don't have Chatzotzvus HaMikdash, we should blow Shofar, if you have a Shofar. But in addition to that, the Gemara tells a story that the Goyish Gavim made a gzera against the Jewish people. They shouldn't fulfill the mitzvah of Mila. They shouldn't allow them to observe, to learn Torah, to keep Shabbos, and so on. So they went to a matronisa. They went to one of the women who was high in the Roman government. She was supportive of the Jewish cause. And they asked her, what should we do to break the gzera? So she said, "Suhubahabginu, go have a rally, have a public... have a public rally and complain in public," which they did. And the Gemara says that the rally helped. So that's what we do also. We call upon everyone to rally. Even if people are learning, they had a rally. There were less than 300,000 people there. There should have been more than 600,000 people there. Even if you're learning, the more people come to the rally, so the more the government will be impressed by that. You see, I think this coming week they're going to have a number of people go to Washington to speak to congressmen. So there's a limited number of congressmen they want to talk to, and they can't come in with 10 people to speak to each congressman, so they go with 3 people to speak to each congressman. So there's a limited number of people that they can have. So those boys who are, not everybody in yeshiva is such a big masmid. So those boys who are masmidim, so they're going to stay and learn. Those who are not such masmidim, they're going to go to speak to the congressman in Washington. It's not a din of Isaac v'mitzvah. Isaac v'mitzvah, potam and ha-mitzvah doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. That's what it says in the Bavli, that's what it says in the Yerushalmi, everybody agrees. A person is busy learning all day, so he's not going to daven mincha, he's not going to daven ma'am, he's not going to tell sfira, he's not going to eat matzah, he's not going to do all the other mitzvahs, he's busy learning. Isaac v'mitzvah applies to any other mitzvah except for Talmud Torah. The Yerushalmi says, why? Because he's lemin shalom and as lasais. The whole idea of Liman HaTorah is that it should be Liman, should be made with the day mitzvahs. So you don't say Isaac b'mitzvah, potah b'na mitzvah. But that's only, the Gemara says, in the first parak of my cotton, that's only, it's a mitzvah, she'yapshu l'hiskayim al-idei achir. So let's say if you have a rally in Washington, you have a rally by the United Nations, the more people you have, if you have another 1,000 people, another 1,000 people, another 1,000 people, it's got to be more meaningful. So that's yapshu l'hiskayim al-idei achir. We have to have a limited number of people who are going to speak to the congressmen. So there's a limited number. They don't want to have everything. They just want to have 150 people, and they're going to visit so many congressmen, and 3 people are going out to each congressman. So those who are interested in learning, let them not go if they'll have enough people. But if they'll have 150 people, not from the masmidim, so the masmidim can stay and learn. Whenever it's a mitzvah, shev shalitz kaimah derechem, let's say there's a shevet brachas. One of the boys when she was getting married, they're having a Shevet Brachas. They can't have 500 students come to the Shevet Brachas. They want to have 35 boys from the yeshiva to dance, to make it levity. 35 boys, doesn't make a difference who's going to come, the learners or the non-learners. So let the non-learners go. Not everybody's such a masmid. So then let the people who like to learn, let them stay and learn. But if it's a rally, then every single person who comes adds to the chashivas of the rally. So that's why the klala of Isaac b'mitzvah, potam and ha-mitzvah doesn't apply in such a situation. That's what the Tanoim recommended. The Tanoim asked the PR expert, the matronisa, what they should do. So she said they should have a rally and speak in public about the issue. The Gemara tells us that there are 3 mitzvahs that have to be fulfilled in a specific order. The Rambam quotes this in the beginning of Hilchos Malachim. The first mitzvah is to establish a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz Yisrael. The second is the Jewish government has to have a standing army. So the standing army has a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. And after Amalek will be wiped out, then it'll be peaceful. It'll be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. Then you have a mitzvah, living us lahem beis abchira, to rebuild the beis hamikdash. So the in 1948, the Chazon Ish had already moved to Eretz Yisrael way before the Second World War. So in 1948, when they established the Medina, so the Chazon Ish was very excited. He said, "This is the end of the Golos, but it's not yet the Geula." So people thought that it was double talk. They weren't familiar with his style of speaking. What do you mean, if the end of the Gula, so it's the beginning of the Gula? Why is it not? So the answer is, what's the definition of Gula? So Kozman, that Palestine was under the control of the British, they didn't let Jews come in. Once they established a Jewish government, there, so they invited all the Jews in the whole wide world to come. So we're not in Gulas anymore, strictly speaking. Whoever wants can pick himself up and go to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Chazon Ish said. This is the end of the Golos, but it's not yet the Gula. What's the definition of the Gula? So the Ramban has in his commentary on Chumash, he has a hakdama to his biur and Sefer Shmos. I have an old Chumash, a reprint of the European editions. Most people probably have my Chumash, where the Ramban's hakdama to Chumash Shmos by mistake was printed at the end of Vayechi. And the new editions of the Chumash, they printed in the beginning of Shmos, where it belongs. It's the introduction to his commentary on Shmos. So Ramban writes that Bereshis, the beginning, is this book of all of the beginning of the world, beginning of mankind, beginning of the Jewish people. And then Sefer Shmos is the story of the first Golos that the Jewish people lived through, and the Gula therefrom. But then he raises an objection, but the Gula doesn't take place till they return back to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't return to Eretz Yisrael, so the Gula was in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So how can I say that the book of Shmos is about the first Golos and the Gula therefrom? So he says, not correct. He says, the main tragedy of the Golos of the Jewish people that Yaakov Avinu and all the Shvatim went down to Egypt, main tragedy was not so much that they weren't in Eretz Yisrael, that was a tragedy. The main tragedy was that they didn't have Hashras Hashkina anymore. That during the time of the Ovis, the Pasuk says in Bereshis, Vayame Olav Elokim. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. Most of the comments that Rashi makes on Chumash, when Rashi talks about Diktuk, that's not from the Gemara. That's Rashi's quoting from the books on grammar, from the Rishon. But when Rashi has something with substance, not Diktuk, that's either from the Tanoim or from the Gemara, from the Midrashim. He's always quoting. It doesn't make up original stories there. So on that pasuk, Vayam Me'olav Elokim, it says by Avram Avinu, Rashi quotes Ha'ovis Hein HaMerkava. Just like the Merkava is something for the Shechina to rest on, Merkava and Nevuos Yecheskel. So the Ovis used to have a Hashras Hashechina. So the Ramban paraphrases a pasuk in the Yob, Sodalaka Alei Ohalehem. There's such a phrase, Sodalaka Alei Oholi. So he says, the Ovis had a b'china of Sodalaka Alei Ohalehem, they had a Hashuas Hashchina. And the main tragedy of living in Mitzrayim was that they didn't have the Hashuas Hashchina. But when you get to the end of Chumash Mos, and you read Truma Tetzava V'Yakal Pikud, they made the Mishkan, they had Hashuas Hashchina, even though they were still in Chutz Lorets. That was a chisorin, but that wasn't the main tragedy. That's called geula. When you already have hashvas hashchina, that's called geula. So that's what the Ramban says, that the book of Shmos is about the first golus and the geula therefrom, because they succeeded in building a mishkan. That was the geula. Rav Kook used to speak about a concept of aschalta de geula. So many of the Hungarian rabbis of Kook died way before Hakamas HaMedina. So many Hungarian rabbis used to attack Rav Kook. Where did he come up with this newfangled idea of Aschalta de Gula? Either you have a Gula, you don't have a Gula. The Gemara has a Lashon Aschalta de Gula. The Chasam Sefer and the Munkacha have Dinim. Piske halacha that they gave based on the assumption. You don't have to be a Novi about Ruach HaKodesh to determine that you're holding by an Aschalta de Gula. The Chasam Sefer, maybe the Chasam Sefer had Ruach HaKodesh, but he doesn't say he uses Ruach HaKodesh. The Munkacha never claimed to have any Ruach HaKodesh. They assumed, the Gemara says, Mohammed Saraschalta de Gula. They understood and misunderstood, whatever. They thought that the Gemara goes all wars in the world. There was an Austro-Prussian war in the 1800s. So the Chasam Sofer assumed that was Aschalta de Gula. Munkacher thought the First World War was Aschalta de Gula. He quotes this Chasam Sofer. And Chasam Sofer says he had to leave Pressburg because of the war. And then he said, they were saying, Avinu Malkeinu every day, calls him on, the war was going on. In Elizabeth Golahariya. And he says, they were suggesting maybe we should be going to Tainis, that the war should end. So he says, no, you're going to slow down the Gula. You're not allowed to. We want the Muhammad should go through, and this should hasten the coming of the Gula, whatever the Gula is. Somehow the Chasam Sofer and the Munkacher quotes from the Chasam, the Minchas Eluzer, quotes from the Chasam Sofer. They thought that the Gemara meant all wars in the world are Aschalta de Gula. Rashi on the Gemara doesn't say like that. Rashi says a Muhammad between the Jews and the Arabs, and the Jews win the war. That's Aschalta de Gula. Because the Gula is when you build a Beis HaMikdash, Gula means Hashvas Hashchina. And the Rambam quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chof and Beis. Gimel Mitzvah in Tztava Yisod Bichni Sosim Lord, the opening of Rambam and Hilchas Malachim and Muhammad Seim. That there are three mitzvahs you have to fulfill in a specific order. The first mitzvah is Lahamil Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. Then every government has to have a standing army. Lach Rizar Shal Amalek, you have to wipe out Amalek. And then after you wipe out Amalek, then Livnas Lahem Beis Abchir. So Rashi says, all the Melchamah is about who's going to be the Balabas over Eretz Yisrael. If the Jews win the Melchamah, so that's probably going to lead to the building of the Beis Hamikdash. That'll lead to Ashuras Hashchina. You have to know, what does Gula mean to know what's Aschalta the Gula? So if Gula means Ashuras Hashchina, then your Beis Hamikdash. So the first two, the Lahamid Lahamelech, Lahach Rizar Shalamalek, that's called Aschalta the Gula. Rav Kook used to refer to the Balfour Declaration. That was by the First World War, the British Lord Balfour said in the name of the British government that they're going and they promised to give Palestine to the Jewish people. He used to refer to that, the Reshet Smichas Gula Seinu. Hakamas HaMedina is probably more than Reshet Smichas Gula Seinu. That's a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Is there any question that it's a Jewish government? It's not a religious government. But in the days of the Tanakh, they had kings who were Obdei Avodah Zarah. They forced everybody to worship Avodah Zarah. And they had the din of Malchus Yisrael, because the Gemara said these were Jewish Avodah Zarahs. The Goyim didn't worship Avodah Zarah the same way the Jews did. These were Jewish Avodah Zarahs. So that's called a Malchus Yisrael. And that's what the Chasam Sofer writes, and the Munkacher picks up on that the same. He says, when you're holding by such a Muhammad, that's an Aschal to the Gula, you're not allowed to stop in the middle. If you're going to pray to Ribbono Shel Olam, the war should end. You're slowing down the Gula. He said, you're not allowed to slow down the Gula. You have to pray that the Jewish army should win the Muhammad with a fantastic success. The Mishnah, in the end of the first parak in Erevin, has it been Arba Dvarm Patru Bamachane. There are four kulas that the Tanoim introduced when the soldiers are on an army base. There's a din of Chumash. Why Machanecha Kaddish? When you have a Jewish army, you have to be careful about Kedushas HaMachne. What's Hoy Machanecha Kodesh? So the Pasuk says you have to be careful. There shouldn't be Erva, there shouldn't be Tzoya, there shouldn't be Hatolos Mei Raglayim, shouldn't be Reach Ra. Unfortunately now, a lot of the soldiers, where they are, they have Shilas. Some of them have this Tzoya all over the place. And even if they're going to cover it up, Chisisa says it's going to be a Reach Ra. And that's considered, Machna HaChayalim is considered a Mokam Hashuras Hashchina. The Gemara learns that from those psukim, that you're not allowed to daven, you're not allowed to learn Torah, Keneged Erba, Keneged Soya, Keneged Meiraglaim, and so on. But what's the original pasuk talking about? The original pasuk not talking about the soldiers learning, not talking about the soldiers daven. The original pasuk just talking, you have soldiers who are fighting the Melchome. But the pasuk says, "Kashem alakech misalah bekerav machanecha lahatzilech velosizavecha bi'anecha b'hoya machanecha kodesh." You assume that there'll be a hashuras hashchina there. to help the soldiers fight the battle. How many soldiers they have to have? The Rabbeinu Hanadol are printed on the side of the page in the end of the first perek in Erevin. Of course, the Yerushalmi has three different opinions. How many soldiers you have to have on the army base that should have the standards of a Machne Yisrael, that you have to be careful about this. So one opinion in the Yerushalmi is you have to have 12,000 soldiers like Melchemes Midian. Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata, Shnei Masa, Elef Chalutzei Tzava. The other opinion is 1,000, because Elef Lamata, every Shevet gave 1,000 soldiers. The Chazon Ish were there, and the end of the first Perek in Erevin, he wrote that before Hakamas HaMedina. So he writes that the army base now is not an army that's sponsored by the Jewish government. There is no Jewish government yet. He writes about the Palmach and Eitzel and the Lechi, whatever they had then. They're trying to pressure the British government to let them make a Medina, but they didn't have a Medina yet. So it doesn't have a Din of Machne Yisrael. But after you have a Jewish government, and then you have enough soldiers, so then it has a Din of Machne Yisrael, you have to be, how many soldiers? So the Chazon Ish says, the Magen Mishnah says on the side of the Rambam, we pass can 10 soldiers. Why 10 soldiers? Called Be'asar Ashchinta Shariyat. You have 10 Jewish people, it's going to be Hashvas Ashchin. So Rav Soloveitchik used to joke a lot of times in public when he would say over this passage in the Imor, called Be'asar, he would joke in Yiddish, 10 Jews reading the Morgan Janal. What are the 10 Jews doing? They're saying Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, but over here they're fighting a war. What do you mean called Be'asar Ashchinta Shariyat? So the answer is no. Ki Hashem Elakech Mesalev Bekerev Machanecha Hatzilecha. If you have 10 Jewish soldiers who are not apikursim, the Chazon Ish says, people who are roi to be mitzarev to a minion. So that itself considered like a dovish b'kedusha. 10 soldiers fighting Mohammed Hashem. They're fighting some Mohammed's mitzvah. They're fighting to protect all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They're fighting to wipe out Amalek over here. That has a din of a dovish b'kedusha. And that's why you had, there's a din of kedusha samachna. That was one of the shailas that they brought up. That the soldiers brought up in Shiloh, they cover over the tzoya, they have paper, they cover over the tzoya, but there still is a reach ra. A lot of times you go on a bus or you go on a plane, and there's a bathroom in the back, so the door is closed, but there's a reach ra in the back, so you can't learn. You can't learn there when there's a reach ra. So that's a problem. If you have, we paskin, you have 10 soldiers near each other, yeah, 10 soldiers far apart from each other, not. That's a discussion, the Chazon Ish. How close do the 10 soldiers have to be to each other? But then it's start from to a minion. If you have 10 people in one room, even if they're in the four corners, they're far apart from each other. So in one room, then it's start from Yachad, that's a Gemara and Psochem. About eating Korban Pesach in the room, Al Yotzi Ish Min Pesach. Not to eat, the Yotziyim and Abbasar Achutza. Not to take the bus outside of the room. Well, what if they're on the Soda, Pnei HaSoda? How close do the soldiers have to be? So the Chazon Ish has an original Chiddush over there. But you have to be careful. That's the din of Kedusha Samachna, because we assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that the Shechina will be there to help the soldiers fight the battle. You have to daven to Rabbanu Shalom that this should be the last of all the wars in the history of the world. This should be the Mechemes Amalek. We should be Zoicha to wipe out Amalek. And we should be zeich to see the Hashvas Hashchina soon during our lifetime. During the Mohammed Hashachur, was a Dova Yodua, they didn't have enough kosher food for all the soldiers. So they had kosher food, non-kosher food. So what usually happened was the religious soldiers ate the kosher food, and the non-observant soldiers didn't keep kosher food, and they ate the non-kosher food. So there was one character, he said, no. He was religious, very religious. He said he wants to eat the non-kosher food. Because the din is, when you're fighting a battle, the soldiers in the army are permitted to eat chazer. Kaveh lechazer. So that's a question whether that is really correct or not. The Rabbanu Chumash holds that kula only applies in kibush Eretz Yisrael. Mechamet HaShechur probably was kibush Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam holds that it applies to any mechamet, any time there's a mechamet. But the Rambam says it's only kishiyira ve'in lemayachal, only if they're hungry. And if there's no kosher food available, so if they're going to skip a meal, they're going to not be in a happy mood. And in order to be able to fight, you have to be relaxed to the extent that is possible. You have to be in a good mood. I remember every other year there's a mochama in the middle of the summer in Eretz Yisrael. I remember once in the 9 days there's a mochama, around 10 years ago. So And by mistake, they sent flesh to the soldiers for supper. So a lot of the soldiers didn't want to eat the flesh. They're 9 days, not going to eat the flesh. So the Rabbanut had to instruct them, you must eat the flesh. They were going to skip the meal. They didn't have any other food. They were going to skip the meal. So they insisted, you have to eat the food. It's kosher food. You have to eat the food. If you're going to be hungry, you won't be able to fight well. Many organizations and many people are going to visit, to the extent that it's possible, all different army bases to maintain the good spirits of the soldiers in the Jewish army. They're extremely dedicated, extremely motivated this time. They were so enraged about the pogrom that took place. It had nothing to do with what I first spoke about, that we are entitled. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. Chebel Azza belongs to the Jewish. That's not what the issue is now. They want to kill all the Jews all over the whole world. It has nothing to do with Chebel Azza, nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. These are lunatics. These are Meshugoyim. So the many organizations and many private people are trying to serve whenever it's possible, to serve barbecues to the soldiers, that you shouldn't be hungry, they should be in a good mood, they should be able to maintain their good spirits. But we have to continue to daven and to learn and to attend rallies whenever necessary. And the Rabbanu Shalom should pull us out of this tzara. Thank you very much.